This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. It is Ramadan. O one who sleeps, stand up and declare the oneness of Allah, the oneness of Allah. Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. It is Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum and a very warm welcome to The Philosophy of Fasting. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah. Peace and blessings be upon Muhammad, the last prophet and messenger of Allah. As always, it's my ultimate pleasure to have in the studio Dr. Hatham Al-Aldad. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, thanks again for joining us in the studio today.
Jazakallah.
Doctor, you know, we were talking about dua and the importance of dua in the last episode, and I want to take this episode also to talk about the dua, the virtues of dua. I want to say to you, know, what can we do? What are the etiquettes of dua?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. There are a number of etiquettes, mm-hmm. and I don't know whether we can touch on them or not, touch on them all or not.
Yes.
But the main point, the key thing, is to do dua believing that Allah Jalla wa Ala can fulfill your dua. Mm. Believing that Allah Jalla wa Ala has the ability and power to give you whatever you ask.
I see.
Believing that Allah Jalla wa Ala hears you. Believing that Allah Jalla wa Ala likes this dua. Mm. These elements, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ud'u Allah wa antum muqinoon bil ijaba," and in the other narration, that and know that Allah jalla wa ala does not accept the du'a of a heedless person.
Yes.
"Ud'u Allah," sorry, the translation of this, ask Allah while you have full confidence that Allah will accept your du'a.
Subhanallah.
So this is the key thing. And that's why in the other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam said, "Yustajabu li ahadikum ma lam yu'ajjil." Your dua will accept it as far as you do not say, "Oh, I made dua to Allah, I made dua to Allah, I have been doing dua to Allah, and it has not been accepted."
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this is the key thing, that you do dua from the bottom of your heart.
Yes.
And as Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala said, that the dua is like a sword. If the person who is carrying that sword is weak, the sword will not be effective.
Yes.
But if the dua, if the person who is carrying that sword is strong, he can make use of that sword.
Definitely.
Dua is the same thing, my dear respected brothers and sisters. And wallahi, there are one of our mashayikh, by the way, one time he told us not to mention his name. Mm. He said that he never remember any dua that he made and Allah Jalla wa Ala never accepted it. Mm. He does not remember. Okay, rahimahullah, anyway. He does not remember any dua he made that has not been accepted. Mm. And I don't want to mention some of the things that he mentioned
of
some dua that he was doing when he was young, and Allah Jalla wa Ala gave it to him.
Subhanallah.
Of course, he said, I'm not talking about my righteousness and piety, but the key thing is, he was saying, "Oh my children," because he was a very old person. Mm. He said, "Oh my children, you are like my children. Just put a trust in Allah. Put your trust in Allah that Allah Jalla wa Ala will give it to you.
Subhanallah.
Or Allah Jalla wa Ala will give you something better."
Dr. Hatham, that's so true. I just want to cut you off there. I'm so sorry to interrupt you there. One of my other roles here at Huda TV is I when they do the khutbah in Mecca and Medina, I have to say it in English for the TV station. And one of the powerful, you've just hit the powerful statement that the Sheikh said, that if you're sincere from your heart, you have to believe, then Allah will give. And it's so surprising that you've mentioned something again, that if you're sincere, look, somebody has told you everything that he asked for. Not things like money, give me $10,000, give me this. You're talking about reality and real things. Allah has given him this. Why is this, Doctor? Why is this?
Oh, by the way, he said that he asked Allah Jalla wa Ala so many things for dunya.
Yes.
He gave us some examples when he was young, and he asked Allah Jalla wa Ala for many things when he was young, and they were fulfilled to him. Many things related to dunya.
Yes.
Why? Because the heart is communicating directly with Allah.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
The heart is communicating directly with Allah. And Allah wants to see our hearts. Mm. Allah does not want the tongue. Mm. Okay?
It's too true.
لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في أيمانكم, the tongue.
Uh-huh.
ولكن يؤاخذكم بما كسبت قلوبكم. It is the heart that earns. It is not the tongue. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, remember, Allah does not accept the dua of a heedless person or the heart, a heedless heart, sorry, and a heart that is not conscious of what he is saying.
Yes.
Okay, because some people, they just repeat the dua. They don't know what they are talking about. They are not, their heart is somewhere else. Mm. And the tongue is saying something else.
I definitely.
This dua by tongue is not accepted.
Exactly.
And here I would like to appeal to all my brothers and sisters,
sure,
to make the dua from the bottom of their hearts.
Exactly.
And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to or this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make the dua. Yes. He used to make dua and ask Allah jalla wa ala and beg Allah jalla wa ala. Really beg Allah jalla wa ala. And that's why in one of the ahadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that some people, their dua might not be accepted directly because Allah jalla wa ala wants them to make more dua.
Exactly.
Okay. And see, as we are talking about this, although the previous, some scholars said that it is a hadith, it is a weak hadith, but anyway, it is an authentic statement. I wanted to say something, that accepting the dua, see, accepting the dua does not mean that you will get the result of the dua directly in the dunya.
I see, yes. SubhanAllah, okay. Yes.
It doesn't mean that you will get it directly in the dunya. Mm-hmm. Because we mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ said the dua either will be given to you directly in the dunya or it will be kept for you in the akhirah or you will be saved from something bad
of course
was about to happen to you.
SubhanAllah.
This is the key thing for the dua.
Yes.
And I would like to appeal to all my brothers and sisters that you need to make dua in everything you want. Oh Allah, guide me. Oh Allah, guide my children. You have a problem with your neighbor. Oh Allah, guide my neighbor.
Exactly.
My neighbor. You have a problem with your car. Oh Allah, fix my car.
Yes.
You have a problem at work. Oh Allah, help me at work.
Yes.
You have a problem in waking up for Fajr. Oh Allah, help me to wake up for Fajr. Oh Allah, guide my children so they wake up for Fajr. Oh Allah, guide my wife. Or the wife says, oh Allah, guide my husband. Or, oh Allah, cure my problems. See, many people, subhanAllah, the last few months, I have been hearing so many stories about people having cancer. Mm. Just recently, one of my cousins had breast cancer. Mm. And people, when we hear that people having cancer and all of these problems, they go for chemotherapy. They go for all types of treatment.
Okay.
And the last thing they do is dua. While if it was the first thing for them to do, dua, Allah Jalla wa Ala will accept it.
Of course.
SubhanAllah, I remember a story, a very amazing story. See, Maybe we are not talking in a very structured way, but this is the nature of...
It's the nature, yes.
The nature of philosophy.
Yes.
When we talk about the philosophy of fasting and the wisdom behind it.
Of course.
And the wisdom behind all actions we do. Ibn Kathir, in his book, Al-Bidayah al-Nihaya, mentioned a very amazing story by Uqba ibn Nafi'. Uqba ibn Nafi' was one of the leaders of Muslims who opened parts of Egypt, and he opened Tunisia.
Yes.
He was the one to open Tunisia and conquer Tunisia. He wanted to establish a masjid, a capital for the Islamic State there.
Right.
So they found that a place called Qayrawan is the best place to establish the capital city. But they found that it was full of wild animals, snakes,
yes,
wolves, and those
like this, yes,
those kind of animals.
Right.
So what did he do? What did he do? Subhanallah, amazing. He went to the place. The place was in front of him, and he stood up on a hill, and he raised his hands, and he said, "Oh Allah, Subhanallah al-Azim. Oh Allah, I ask you to command those animals to leave the place, to vacate the place for us, because we want to build our city there." The one who narrated this hadith, he said, "By Allah, I saw the snakes leaving the place and vacating the place. By Allah, I see the wolves carrying their children and leaving the place, vacating the place because of what? Because of the dua of Uqba ibn Nafi'.
Subhanallah.
Do we use dua like this?
Not at all, doctor.
When people having political problems, social problems, economical problems, on countries level, the last thing we turn to is who? Is Allah Jalla wa'ala.
Yes.
And the first thing maybe we turn to is maybe America or superpowers or these places.
The West.
And we don't turn to who? The real power.
The
source of power.
Yes.
The controller of everything. Mm-hmm. Allah, the one who, the master of everything.
Of course.
The one who can destroy us all, and the one who can provide us all. And that does not diminish his kingdom. That does not diminish his wealth.
Subhanallah. Doctor, that's all we have time for right now. We'll pick up on that straight after this quick break. Stay tuned, we're just going to take a quick break. See you soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, O Ramadan. You are honored, O month of the Quran. You are honored, O month of the Quran.
Assalamu alaikum, and a very warm welcome back to the Philosophy of Fasting. Well, Doctor, before the break, we were talking about the virtues of dua, and we reached at a critical point by saying, you know, a fascinating story about standing on the hill and asking Allah to remove the animals from where they wanted the to build their city. So let's move forward now, Doctor, and ask the etiquettes of dua.
Yeah, bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. The first etiquette that we mentioned, and it is the key etiquette, you can say, is to ask Allah Jalla wa ala, believing that Allah Jalla wa ala will give you.
Yes.
Asking Allah Jalla wa ala with a present heart, not while your heart is somewhere else.
Of course.
The second one, although it is not as important as the first one, is that you ask Allah Jalla wa'ala by his names and attributes that Allah Jalla wa'ala likes the most. And that's why it was the etiquette of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or the habit of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to praise Allah Jalla wa'ala in the beginning. And he said that the dua that has no praise of Allah Jalla wa'ala in the beginning might not be accepted or might not be raised to Allah Jalla wa'ala. This is another important etiquette. Also, other than that, there are some etiquettes that are not that important. For example, facing Qibla, raising your hands, being in a state of wudu. These are just etiquettes that can be make the dua better.
Okay.
But the first one is the key thing. And this gives us assurance that dua is a very simple ibadah.
Yes.
It is a ibadah. In fact, some scholars said that dua is a very unique ibadah because it is the only ibadah that you can do at any time.
Yes. Subhanallah.
You leave home, you go to your car, you can make dua while going to your car.
For sure.
You start your car, you make the dua, okay, when you ride your car. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, alladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin, Allahu akbar, subhanallah. Okay?
Yes.
And you may finish the dua, and then after that you are driving. You can make dua.
Of course.
And you don't need to move your tongue. You didn't need to move your lips.
Okay.
You can make dua by your heart. In fact, the dua by your heart is more appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Subhanallah. Why? Because it comes from your heart directly.
Yes, of course.
You can make dua in your own language.
Yes, that's the next question I wanted to ask you there, Dr. Hatham, because obviously I'm English and I always want to ask Allah for goodness of everybody. So how can I do that? Because I can't say much in Arabic.
See, the dua not necessarily to be read in Arabic. Mm. Because as we said, it is the act of your heart.
Yes.
It is the statement of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you can read it even in your own language.
Subhanallah.
And here, many people make this mistake. They think that the dua has a special statement a dua has a special format.
Yes, I see.
The only format is to praise Allah Jalla wa'ala, to make salah upon the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to make dua in any language, anything you want. That's it. Full stop. Easy. You can do it anytime.
Exactly. Dr. Hatham.
If I may say.
Yes, of course.
Even when you make dua, you can make dua while in sujood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in fact, sujood, and maybe this leads us to the second point, which is what are the best time to make
yes,
dua?
Yes, exactly.
But just before that, you know, one of the best times to do dua is while you are doing sujood.
SubhanAllah, yes.
Okay? While inside the prayer or outside the prayer. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the closest you become to Allah Jalla wa Ala is when you are sujood. Or sujood is the closest time for you to be to Allah Jalla wa'ala.
Yes.
Okay. So, when you make dua while you are in sujood, if the salah is not obligatory salah, if it is a voluntary salah, you can make dua in your own language.
Mm.
Even some scholars allow dua in your own language in sujood after you finish Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. In sujood, you can make dua in your own language.
SubhanAllah. That's amazing, because this is something I didn't know. I thought to myself, okay, may Allah accept my dua in English, but now it's been confirmed that I don't have to struggle thinking in Arabic and
not
writing it down, SubhanAllah.
See, just to confirm, there are special dua that has been mentioned by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam specifically for specific occasions.
Yes, I see.
Such as when you, the dua that we just mentioned when you ride your car.
Right.
Okay. Bismillah. And then once you go into the car and then سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله سبحانك اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. So this is good to mention it in Arabic, because this is what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught
us. Of course, yes,
okay.
Definitely.
دعاء before going to the bed, to the bed, sorry.
Yes.
دعاء when you wake up from the bed and so on. These kinds of دعاء is good to learn it,
yes,
in Arabic.
Of course.
But until you learn it in Arabic, you can say it in English or any language.
Of course.
But it's good to learn it in Arabic. However, other than that dua, which is the unconditional dua, you can mention it in any language you want.
Yes, that's definitely true there, Doctor, because what you're saying to us, the specific dua, such as the car journey, the bathroom, going to bed, waking up, these must be said in Arabic because these are specific, mentioned by Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him.
Exactly.
And the you know, if you just want to ask Allah, please Allah help us in this time of badness, please help us through this trouble, then this is okay in your language.
Yes, definitely.
That's great to know. Because it's one of those things that you ponder upon when you're a revert. Am I doing this right? Is this right? And sometimes you feel scared,
yes,
or ashamed to ask. Like, for example, you're a renowned scholar throughout the world. And when you see such people, even here when we have Dr. Muhammad Salah, I want to ask him, I want to lock him in a room and sit him there for one day and ask him all those questions. And slowly, slowly, I ask, I knock on his door and I ask him one or two questions. And I'm very grateful to have this opportunity, not only to work on Huda TV, but to have you on this show.
Jazakallah.
So, you know, Doctor, I want to just ask you very kindly, What is the specific time you mentioned when in sujood that Allah will accept? Is this the best time? Because I heard if you make dua before Maghrib, I think, Maghrib Azan.
Maghrib Azan of Friday, you mean?
Thursday, I think. You'll tell me more.
Okay.
But I've heard that if we make dua before Maghrib on Thursday, then this is the best time.
Okay.
But you'll clear this up for us.
There are certain times in which the dua is accepted. Okay, let us go through them quickly because I think we are running out of time.
No, take your time.
Okay. The best time is at the last third of the night.
Definitely.
We mentioned hadith Abi Huraira in Sahih al-Bukhari when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah, and this is great, subhanAllah.
Yes.
Allah himself descends to the lowest heaven. And he says, "Man yad'uni fa'astajibu lahu." Who is making dua, I will give it to him. "Man yas'aluni fa'a'tiya." Who is asking me anything, I will give it to him. Who is making istighfar, I will forgive him.
See,
Allah himself. And he is coming to us and he says, it's up to you.
Yes.
You want it, take it. You don't want it, leave it. It's up to you. So shall we leave this opportunity? And that's why in one of the previous episodes, I said to my brothers and sisters, it is good that when you sleep, just wake up in the middle of the night and just say some dua to Allah. It will be really great. So this is one time. Another important time is between Adhan and Iqamah. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said dua between Adhan and Iqamah is unlikely to be rejected or it will not be rejected. Okay? Then another time for dua to be accepted, just before the Maghrib of Friday. Just before the Maghrib of Friday, not on Thursday. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In the day of Jumu'ah, there is an hour means a short period of time, not an hour, 60 minutes.
Of course,
no, an hour means a period of time in which the du'a is not rejected." The scholars have two opinions. One opinion says that when the imam is on the minbar about to go for the salah, and the second one, which is an opinion that was accepted by so many scholars, is the time before Maghrib.
On Friday. Yes.
And here, I would like to appeal to our brothers and sisters. If this is the virtue of dua, and this is the case of the dua on Friday, then my dear respected brothers and sisters, make sure you go to the masjid. Okay? Is for men, they should go to the masjid. For women, they can just sit and be ready for the salah.
Exactly.
Because there is another hadith that indicates that the person should be in a state of salah. In a state of salah means waiting for the salah. So go to the masjid before Maghrib Adhan, 10 minutes before Adhan Maghrib, and make dua
SubhanAllah.
To Allah Jalla wa Ala. Ask Allah Jalla wa Ala anything. There is another hadith that this hour, Allah Jalla wa Ala accept any dua you do, except if it is a dua with something bad or a dua to break the ties of kinship.
I totally
Other
understand.
Than that, just make it.
MashaAllah.
Do this dua. And it hurts me. I know we
yes,
are
we
about
are
to finish.
Yes, we are pushed out of time. I'm so sorry, Doctor.
Okay, let us finish.
So
maybe if we have time
in the next episode. I'm so sorry to cut you off there. I really appreciate your support in the studio today, Doctor. Well, guys, I'm sure we hope you take into consideration what Dr. Hatham Al-Dad has to say. Until next time, I leave you in the safe care of Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Welcome, O Ramadan.